for the good singing tonight. Say amen. Would you do it? Amen. I tell you, I appreciate the good singing we've had, and I appreciate the presence of the Lord in our midst tonight. You know, when God's around, then you can have a good time. When the Lord's in the camp, they'll hear the shout outside the camp. I mean, when the Lord's in the camp, the enemy won't come in. The Bible said over in 1 Samuel chapter 4, it said that they shouted so loud the ground rang out. Well, it wasn't Baptist. You can put it down right there. They never shouted that loud. But I like to be in a service where we can enjoy the blessings, and I'm sure you have. I appreciate the singing. I told you last night how I met Brother Bobby Grubbs and Billy Kelly. And Brother Bobby tonight is a preacher. I'll tell you how I met him. Well, I knew him before, I guess. But we were talking about it tonight. I was over at Cherokee Avenue Baptist Church in a meeting years ago when he was a little boy. I mean, just a little bitty boy. He's a little fella. And I told him tonight that means he's getting older. That means when, fellas grow up and pastor churches, that means somebody's getting older. But I remember when he came in that night, I'd just come out of the prayer room before service, and I saw his dad, Brother Tommy. You know, Tommy's easy to cry. I mean, he's one of those Christians you can just look at, and he'll start crying. And he started crying, said, Brother Mays, how are you? And I said, fine, Brother Tommy, how are you doing? And I walked back there, and Bobby here handed me a nickel or double and said he wanted to give me something on my broadcast. And I told him I appreciated that. And his daddy said, Brother Mays, he listened to you on the radio. And we wanted to come up to hear you preach tonight. And when he said, we want to come up, Bobby said, no, Daddy. Said, you said you were too tired. I was the one who wanted to come up to hear Brother Mays. Said, amen. And he said, Brother Mays, we came up to hear you preach. And so we're glad tonight for Brother Bobby and then the singers at the church. And Brother Sammy, it's good to be with him in this meeting. Let me say a couple of things, and I'll get right into the message tonight. All right? Yeah, I was going to tell him about that Sunday afternoon as one of the things. But tomorrow night, now the Lord willing, I want to preach a sermon. I think I preach two or three times. Preacher sometimes, you know, somebody said, hey, I don't think you ought to preach a sermon but once. Well, you sing Amazing Grace nearly every night. Say amen. Praise God, you don't get tired of hearing Amazing Grace. And but tomorrow night, I want to preach a sermon. I preached in the camp meeting down in Florida. And I preached it on Friday night. Now, they don't shout too much down there. But Brother Homer's here. Now, he'll tell you this is so. I imagine there's 600 or 700 people there. The tabernacle failed that night. And it's the close of the service. Everybody in that tabernacle was standing. I mean, they're all standing. Somebody said, what was you doing? I don't remember, to tell you the truth. I mean, I don't know what I was doing. I was running and hollering and hooping, and it didn't make any difference because, boy, God was so strong around there when he gets that strong. But everybody in that tabernacle at the end of the night. So I preached on the King is coming. And I noticed tonight two or three songs, it mentioned the King. So tomorrow night, the Lord willing, I want to preach on the King is coming. And I hope you'll come, bring your Bible, and we'll have a great time. Then Brother Sammy said, remind them about Sunday morning, and then Sunday afternoon at 2:30, we're going to have a Broadcasting for Jesus rally service. And we're going to have a good time. I tell you, I'm just looking for the Lord to bless. I have a message I'm going to preach to the Lord willing Sunday afternoon. I want you to hear. I preached it for the first time last week up in North Carolina, and the message is entitled, The New War on Jesus Christ. They declared war on the Son of God. Now, ever since that God gave the promise in Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, there's been war against the Son of God. But there's a new war. I'm going to tell you about it Sunday afternoon. I want you to bring your Bible. I mean, it's blasphemous. I mean, it's hideous. It's terrible how that they're declaring war on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll preach that coming up Sunday afternoon at 2:30. Don't you miss. Now, last Sunday, it rained. I mean, it came one of those frog stranglers, as you call it. I mean, it rained up there in North Carolina for an hour and a half before the service, and yet the auditorium was packed full, and I preached on this subject, the new war on Jesus Christ. The new war on Jesus Christ. So I want you to bring your Bible and come Sunday afternoon and hear the message on the new war on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, take your Bible tonight and turn with me, please, to the book of Philippians. It's a book of joy. It's a book of Christian experience. And Paul didn't have to straighten him out doctrinally because he'd been over there preaching to him and teaching. And so he wrote to them about Christian experience and about joy. And I know Paul was a Baptist preacher, and I'll show you in just a moment. Somebody said, here's the Methodist. No, he wasn't. I'll show you in just a moment. I want you to turn to the third chapter of the book of Philippians, please. And I'm going to read from the third chapter of the book of Philippians. Now, Paul started off the third chapter with something, and then we're going to stand for the reading of the word. But I want you to see what he started off with. He said, finally, my brethren. You know the reason I know he's a Baptist preacher? He said, finally, and then preached another hour and a half when he got through saying finally. I mean, he said, we're going to end it right here, and then, brother, he preached another hour and a half. Now, that's Baptistic, isn't it, fellas? Say amen. 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 Y'all laughing like Sammy's guilty of that. I don't know. Somebody's guilty because everybody's laughing. My wife just had her a heyday back there. All right. But it is good. And Paul, you know, I love Paul. I thank God for Paul. I believe he's the greatest missionary that ever lived. I don't believe anybody ever lived like Paul and did the work Paul did. I tell you, in a short time. Boy, I tell you, when you read about Paul, it's always thrilling. So I want you to stand with me now for the reading of the Word of God. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 1 and read down through verse 14. Would you notice, and if you don't have a King James Version, your Bible sounds strange and won't be right. But if you've got a King James Version, it'll be all right. All right? Notice with me as I begin reading, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, it's not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Let me stop long and say this tonight. He said, don't have any confidence in the flesh. Now, since I've been saved for many, many years, this flesh is no more saved than it was when I got saved. But it's going to drop one of these days, and I'm going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. Now, if you think you can put confidence in the flesh, my friend, you are greater than Paul the Apostle. He said, put no confidence in that flesh. Now, let's read on. And, of course, you know how to get victory over the flesh and dying daily and all. But he said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, as a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisees. Why, he said, I can brag more than some of you Baptists that's been out here 40 years. And, you know, just he said, I can really brag on my background. I can brag on my heritage. He said, I live pretty clean. He said, I'm circumcised, and I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And a Pharisee had to live clean. He couldn't. Listen, a Pharisee was one of the cleanest outward people and dirty on the inside that lived in the days of Christ. I mean, they were strict, and they lived pretty clean lives. Then he said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were me gain to me of those I counted lost for Christ? Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered, and the loss of all things, and do count them but done, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is in the law, but which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Now he said all this, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, or to reach the goal of perfection, he said. But this one thing, now notice he didn't say I got 40 things here, he said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now quickly, I want you to turn back to the book of Romans and just look at one verse of Scripture, and I'm going to show you something, Romans chapter 10. chapter, verse 1, then I want you to be seated. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. He said, brethren, brethren. If you look over in the first chapter, he called them saints. Somebody said, what's the difference? They're the same. Amen. If you're saved, you're a saint. If you're saved, you are a saint.
Amen.
If you're a saint, you are my brother.
Amen.
You know, it means two things to be brothers. It means first we have the same father. And secondly, we're in the same family. Say amen right
amen.
There. Bless God. If you're a brother tonight in the Lord Jesus, you've got the same father and you're in the same family. And Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, I got a desire. Oh, he said, I've got a desire, and my desire is that my people might be saved. Now I want you to be seated all over the house, if you will. Everyone seated, I want you to bow your head for a word of prayer. All over the house, would you bow for just a word of prayer? And in just a moment, I'm going to speak to you on what is your spiritual desire. What is it that you really want tonight? What is it that you apprehend? Paul said, I haven't reached it yet. I haven't got all I asked God for. I haven't reached my desire. I haven't obtained my goal. I haven't made my ambition complete. But here he said, my brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. Now I tell you, beloved, everybody here tonight's got some kind of desire. I'm afraid many of our desires are not pleasing to God. I'm afraid that many of us tonight desire that which is not pleasing. But I wonder, while your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you ask God to turn the searchlight of heaven on you? And would you ask the Lord tonight to speak as I preach the Word of God, that men might get right with the Lord, that souls might be saved, that the church might be stirred and have a real spiritual desire? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for every blessing. Thank you for the good singing, Lord. I'm glad when they ring the golden bell. Thank God. In that great morning, we'll be over there in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our burdens and our trials and our battles will all have passed. But I pray tonight, our Father, as we recognize that we're here in a pilgrim journey, that we're here in the midst of a battle against the forces of darkness and the forces of hell. Oh, God, when we recognize that we're here for a purpose, I pray that this church may have the right desire. Oh, God, I pray that every person that's gathered in our midst tonight may leave here with the desire even as Paul had. And I pray tonight, our Father, you'll speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you, and we'll praise you, Lord, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Beloved, tonight I want to speak to you on what is your spiritual desire. Now I hear somebody say, Brother Means, I never wanted to be anything for the Lord. There's something matter with the Christian that doesn't want to be something for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that every church, every Christian ought to have a spiritual desire. Here's what old Paul said. He said, I have a desire that my brethren in the flesh, that is, he's talking about Israel, he wanted them to be saved. Now, one reason I know I'm saved, I want to see somebody else saved. And one reason you know you're saved, you want to get somebody else to Jesus. I never found a man that was really born again that didn't want to see somebody else saved. You say, preacher, what makes you shout when I get through preaching and I give the invitation and back out it somewhere? The Holy Ghost plucks that one out of the seat and rest him in the name of the Lord Jesus and brings him down that aisle. And when I see a sinner come to God, brother, I want you to know that's my desire and that's shouting ground. But Paul could say, I have a desire. And I'm sure when we read you here, he said, one thing, I'm going to forget those things that are behind. And I'm going to reach out. In other words, I've got some goals. And I believe that every Christian has some ambitions and some goals. Let me show you in the Bible a few of those that had spiritual desires. And then I'll show you two that had evil desires and how that those desires were met. Now, look here. I believe everybody can have his desire. My Bible says if we live right and if we walk right, I believe, my friend, that God will give us our desires. It's according to the book of the Psalms. And if we delight in him, my friend, he he's promised to give us our desire. But let's notice some of those in the Bible that had great spiritual desires. First of all, let's take Elisha. I've always loved Elisha. You know what his desire was? It was for the power of God, a double portion to rest upon him. And beloved, that ought to be the desire of every Christian to have a double portion of the Spirit of God. Let me show you about Elisha. One day he's out there plowing, had some oxen, and old Elisha passed by, reached over and took his coat, threw it over on him, and said, if you think that's me, keep on plowing. But he said, if you think that God's behind that, he said, kill those oxen and follow me. And so Elisha got rid of those oxen and followed Elisha. And you know what he did? He poured water on the hands of that great old prophet. Watched him for those years. And then one day they came down to the Jordan River. Elisha took his mantle, raised it up in the air, smote the waters. And when he did, they parted hither, and they parted hither. And Elisha walked over on dry ground. When they got to the other side, Elisha turned around and said, Elisha, I'm going to have to leave you. But before I go, I ask you, is there anything that you'd like to have? And you know what Elisha said? He didn't say, I want a new automobile. He didn't say, I want riches and gold. He said, sir, I want a double portion of the same spirit that fell on you. And old Elisha looked down and said, son, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me, when I go away, you'll have that double portion. And it wasn't long till there came a noise from heaven, a chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And the Bible said, in a whirlwind, and a chariot just swooped down, picked up old Elisha. And I used to think that that coat fell on top of Elisha, but it didn't. It fell over from him. And old Elisha walked over and picked it up and said, I wonder if it works. And he said, I wonder if I'm going to get my desire. I walked down to the Jordan River, raised that mantle up, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he smote the waters, brother, they parted hither, and they parted hither, just like they parted for the great master of Elijah. And beloved, let me say tonight, Elisha got a double portion of the same spirit that Elijah had. You say, how do you know? I know for many reasons. But first of all, let me say this. If there's anything the church needs tonight, it's a double portion of the great spirit of God. If there's anything that we need in our singing, brother, it's a double portion of the spirit of God. If there's anything that we need in our preaching, it's a double portion of the spirit of God. You remember in the life of the Lord Jesus, the Bible said when he came down off the mount of transfiguration, boy, he'd been up there and they saw a little bit of the glory. I mean, it's the end of his life. God let some of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ ooze out of that body, and they saw some of his glory. But when he came down from that mountain, there's a little lunatic boy, and he'd twist and fall in the fire, and he'd fall in the water, and the dad of that little boy ran up to Jesus and said, Jesus, we asked your disciples to cast the devil out of this little boy, and they could not. What's wrong? And Jesus said, this comes this kind, and this kind comes by prayer and by fasting. It doesn't come by advertisement. It doesn't come by entertainment. It doesn't come by the world, but bless God, it comes by prayer and by fasting. And so, my friend, the double portion is that which we need. When they saw Samson in the Old Testament, they saw a supernatural power on him, and when he lost that power, he became as other men. When the church does not have the power of God upon it, it becomes as other organizations. But bless God, when we got God on us, let me say this triumphant, we'll march on. And not sin can stop the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you say, what about that double potion? You say, did he get it? Elijah performed 8 miracles. He raised the dead. Elijah performed 8 miracles. You know how many Elijah performed? 16 miracles. He got a double portion of the Spirit of God that rested upon Elijah. I like to hear people talk about Elijah and Elijah, and they always tell you how Elijah left the world. They never tell you that great miracle of Elijah. The Bible said that old Elijah went up to heaven to whirlwind and chariot of fire. But you know something? After Elijah had been dead a year and a half, they were bringing the boy back from the battlefield. And as they came over the top of the hill, the old sergeant said, hey, I believe there's some snipers down there. We got to get rid of this dead man. You know what they did with the dead soldier? They reached over and threw him in Elisha's tomb. And Elisha's bones had so much power in them, bless God. When that dead soldier hit those bones, he resurrected up, bless God, and came back to life. And I see that sergeant running down the road, and he turns around to the corporal and says, do you see? Oh, do you see the enemy coming? He said, no, but that dead soldier's about to catch up with us as sure as the world. Brother, I want to tell you, it was the power of God, and it's wonderful tonight. When people will have the power of God, let me ask you, Christian, are you willing to pay whatever it costs to have God's power upon you? Elisha, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I go away, I'll get you hand that request. Brother, we need a double portion of the Spirit of God. Number two, Solomon asked for something. You remember the Bible said the Lord spake unto Solomon when he was 40 years old and said, Solomon, what is it that you desire? You know what Solomon said? He said, I want the mind of God. I want wisdom to guide my people. As my father guided them, I want the mind of God. I want wisdom. And let me say this to you that are here tonight. Every mother needs the wisdom of God. Every dad needs the wisdom of God. I'm glad for the wisdom, brother, you can find in God. You say, preacher, I've got all kinds of psychology, and I know all about math. Wait a minute. My Bible said that the wisdom of this earth is sensual and it's devilish. And the Bible said it's earthly. But the Word of God said that wisdom which comes down from above is pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated. And the Bible said if any man like wisdom, let him ask of God. And brother, tonight, we need the mind of God. When I get up in the morning, I don't have the wisdom to know where to go. I'm glad he'll guide my path. Hallelujah. When I get up in the morning, I don't have the wisdom to ask God for what I need. But I'm glad he knows what I need before I ever ask him. And brother, every mother needs the wisdom of God in that kitchen. As the mother of that house is the queen of that home. Every dad in this house tonight, you need the wisdom of God. You need to be guided by the Lord. You say, Brother Mace, did Solomon get his desire? Listen, did you know that Solomon could quote 3,000 Proverbs? Did you know that Solomon could sing 1,500 hymns and psalms? Listen, without a songbook, he'd stand up and say, let's sing, children. And he could sing 1,500 hymns and 1,500 courses. I used to go down to a place called Jamaica every year. And boy, I like to preach down there. As you get through preaching down there for an hour, they'll jump up and holler, preach again. And I'd say, I preached everything I know. I don't know anything else. And they'd holler, preach the same one. I'd light out, praise God, and preach another one. And they'd just say, and you know, they didn't have any place to sit down. They stood up all the time I was preaching. And brother, God bless me. And I remember one old boy down there every year, he'd get up and he'd say, I will stand and sing number 344. And I noticed he never opened the book. And he'd say, now we'll sing a second song, number 224 maybe. And I asked him one night, I said, sir, I've never seen you open a songbook. I said, how did you memorize all those songs? He said, Brother Mays, I've been saved 7 years. And he said, when I got saved, I promised God if he'd let me lead the singing, I'd learn 100 hymns and choruses every year. And said, I've been saved now 7 years, and I know 700 songs by heart. I said, praise God. The Bible said if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, you need wisdom for many things. Let me give you three things that you're going to need the mind of God and the wisdom of God for. You need the wisdom of God to know which is right and which is wrong. You know, brother, there's so much confusion today. I'll tell you, when you come to God, you don't have to worry about it. The Holy Ghost can tell you right. If you listen to this teacher or this preacher, you might be wrong. But if you get the mind of God, hallelujah, I'm glad he'll show you that which is right and he'll show you that which is wrong. Secondly, we need to know the mind of God on that which is carnal and that which is spiritual. Some people don't know the difference between flesh and the spirit. I want to tell you something. There's something about it, praise the Lord. When the Holy Ghost begins to move, you can know the difference between the flesh and between the spirit. And then that's the third thing. You know the difference between the carnal and the righteous. I mean, you know the difference. And brother, you can tell the difference. But we need the mind of God in these days of confusion. In these days when so many people have been deceived. You say, preacher, did God give Solomon his request? He sure did. Watch this. Two mothers went to bed one night. They went to sleep. They had two little baby boys. And one of them turned over and smothered her boy and woke up and said, I'll claim the other child. And so she got the live baby and put between them and woke up the real mother and said, now, this is my baby. The dead baby's your baby. And when they got in a confusion, they didn't know what to do. Somebody said, take him to Solomon. He don't know what to do. They took that little baby to Solomon and said, which is the real mother? Solomon said, put the baby on the table. He took that baby and placed him there on a white tablecloth or something, reached down, got that big old sword. He said, this mother here, I'm going to cut the baby in two and give you half of the baby. Said to this mother over here, I'm going to cut this baby in two and give you the other half. And when he raised that big old sword to cut that little baby in two, the real mother screamed out and said, no! Give the baby to the other mother. And Solomon knew which one it was. Let me say this to you tonight. God's the one that can give you wisdom. I thought about an old man that used to live in a little town. And everybody said he had a great wisdom. He'd sit out and people asked him questions. And nobody could stump him. Two little old boys, one day caught a little bird. They said, we'll stump that man. Said, he claims God gives him wisdom and we'll stump him. Said, I'll hold this little bird in my hand and let the tail feather stick out. And I'll fool that old man. And them two little smart aleck boys walked up to the old wise man that had God on him and said, hey, Pop! Said, can you tell me, is the bird alive or dead? Said, we're going to find out if you're smart. And that old man looked at that bird's head and the feather sticking out. And he said, I want to tell you, boys, it's left up to you. Said, if I say that the bird is alive, you'll squeeze him and drop him and he'll be dead. Said, if I say that the bird is dead, you'll open your hand, you'll fly away. Said, it's left up to you. Now, little boy started trembling. He said, I didn't know you'd catch me. That old man with tears streaming down his cheeks, he said, son, I prayed this morning that you'd come by and I'd get to talk to you. Said, God showed me what to say. Oh, you say, Brother Lane, it's desire was to have spiritual wisdom. Here's a man called Elisha. He wanted a double portion. Had a desire for the double portion of God's spirit. Here's a man named Solomon. He might have wanted wisdom. Number three, there was a man named Nehemiah. He was in captivity. He went up one day to Artaxerxes and said, here's your supper, sir. When he handed him the food, that old king said, what's troubling you, boy? Said, you're not sick, but what's troubling you? And old Nehemiah gave him the best answer in the world. He said, my city is lying waste. No, my people are torn asunder. And he said, the walls are torn down. And the temple's been destroyed. Then King Artaxerxes said to him, Nehemiah, I'm going to privilege you with something. I'm going to give you anything that you want. What do you want? Nehemiah said, the walls stand for the testimony. I want to raise up the testimony of God's city again. Let me say to you, my friend, it's time the church of the living God raise up its wall of testimony. It's time that the church raise its wall and says, has been, the temple has been torn down. And he said, I want to build something for God. Let me say this, when you're dead, will somebody ride by and say, he built something for God? Are you so busy like the rich man in Luke 12, building your own barns and building something that's going to pass away? Oh, that when you die, my friend, listen, will they say, it all went down? I know an old preacher up in the mountains, and he said, preacher, he said, I won't be here much longer. He said, one lung's gone, the other lung's about gone. He said, I can't stay in the crowd. But he said, I can put you in my car, ride you around 8 churches that I built. He said, when I'm up in heaven kicking up gold dust and singing over there with the saints of God, he said, there'll be 8 churches with 8 steeples standing because I built them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, that's wonderful. I never forget the first time me and my wife went down to eat in the Regency. I'm a country boy. I mean, I never did, you know, all this fancy stuff. I mean, all this fancy stuff. I went to a place the other night, and I sat down at the table, and it had 5 forks and 3, 4, 5 spoons. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if they eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I didn't know what to do. Bless God, when I was a boy, we had 1 spoon for everything on the table. And then everybody licked it when we got through, bless God. And, amen. Why, you say, Brother Mace, I didn't do that. You don't know what you missed at your house. Amen. You don't know what a blessing you missed. And somebody said, well, my wife and I went to this Regency, and they had that big old elevator thing. And we went over and sat down. And you sit down at the sidewalk. And I said, I don't mind folks. I have me a big time. You ask me how you feeling, I'll say the best you ever saw. Praise God, I'm not going around here whining while some people get up testify and say, Lord, I want you to know I'm about to die. I'm not, I'm living hallelujah. Oh, rejoicing in the good things that God's blessed me with. Like singers come in with 9 songbooks under their arm and sit down, and the pastor get up, Brother Sam, and say, did y'all come to sing? No, we didn't come prepared. Well, why did you bring 9 songbooks if you didn't come? Amen. Why, people, bless God, you know I'm telling the truth. We're sitting there, my wife goes out, I believe he's shouting. I said, and I thought she'd be, you know, she's quiet, reserved. I said, you know what I'm good mind to do? I'm good mind to jump up on this table, holler glory to God and the Lamb's aloud. A rabbit won't run through this country for 6 months. Hallelujah. And they're in that big old restaurant. And I just knew God was going to say, now, Mace, surely to goodness you wouldn't jump up in this restaurant and holler. And she looks across that table and said, I dare you get up there. Oh, it took me 30 minutes to prove to her I shouldn't shout down the reach. But you know what we did? Listen, we looked at that big old building. It cost, oh, I don't know how much money. Robert Kennedy, when he had 1 whole floor, before he was shot, said, this is the most beautiful building I've ever stayed in. I don't know, but my wife said, the architect. Think about the man that built this building. When he's dead, she'll still be standing. I got to thinking about, well, that may be something. But I'd rather build something out here for Jesus. Praise God, something will be lasting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Than to build something, rather, that's in the world and something that's of the devil. I'd rather build something for the Lord. What's on Nehemiah? He goes back home. One night he goes down and walks around the wall. And he just kicks up, Bible says he kicks up the rubbish. He comes down and he kicks up the stones and the rubbish. And while he's down there, God put something in his heart. I don't know what it was, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him. Because, boy, he wouldn't come down when he started building that building. They hollered, hey, a fox is going to jump up on that and going to tear that wall down. He just kept that on the building. Hey, man, listen, he didn't stop. He knew that God had given him a desire to build something for God. And, brother, he was building something for God. It's wonderful to see men and women, and people that are trying to build something.
living for God. I want to ask you what you desire. Here's something else tonight. There was a beautiful girl in the Bible named Esther. In the book of Esther, that's the only book in the Bible that the name of God's not mentioned. But on every page and every chapter, you'll find God. He's just not mentioned. But Haman built a gallows, and he lifts it high. You know, you give the devil enough rope, he'll hang himself every time. And he fixed it and said, I'm going to hang Mordecai. Mordecai came to Esther and said, Esther, said, did you know you're the only one that can save your people? And said, do you have a desire? She said, I have a desire. He said, Esther, I'm your uncle, Mordecai. I'm a Jew. Esther, your daddy was a Jew. Esther, your mama was a Jew. Esther, you are a Jew. And now they're going to kill all the Jews. But if you'll go in the garden of God and wait, the king will have you to come. And when he cast you to pull the veil, 3 days later, oh, he'll have a sepulcher in his hand. And if he drops that sepulcher, you die. But if he hands you that sepulcher, you live and have your request. And Esther said, I want my people. I want you, Uncle Mordecai, to ride that horse instead of Haman down the road in the parade. And guess who rode that horse? Oh, Mordecai, praise God. And did you know one of these days I'm going to ride a horse? I was over there the other day, and Brother Bobby knows this and some of the others. When you come out of Petra, you ride a horse. Brother Homer back there was with us, and we rode horses out of Petra, the rock city, the road city, they call it. But one of these days, brother, the saints of God are coming back on wild horses. Hey, man, you talk about a time. Brother, we're coming back to rule and reign with Jesus Christ 1,000 years. And I don't want you to miss that tomorrow night, but you listen. Oh, I tell you, when you think about it, and you let it soak in, what a blessing it is, my friend, to think about that. Here's a man, and here's a woman, here is a race of people on the verge of being destroyed. And here's what Esther said, I'll go in the garden of God. You know what God did? He pinched her cheek, and it got rosy. He made her pretty. I believe he curled her hair and fixed her with a permanent brother came from heaven. And she went in, stood before that king. And the king said, raise your veil. Had the sepulcher in his hand. And that meant neither one of two things. If she pleased him, she could have whatever she wanted. If she didn't please him, she was to die. But she so loved her people enough, she is willing to die for them to be saved. Do you know when you get your people saved? When you love them so much, you're willing to die. I asked her when she's willing to die. You know what she did? She went in, she pulled the veil. And when she did, that king took that sepulcher. He didn't drop it. He handed it to her and said, make your request. She told about Haman. She told about her uncle Mordecai. And he said, your request has been granted. You know what she had? She had a desire that her people might be saved. I hold a meeting over in Knoxville. I hold it every fall. Just one meeting now. I've been on the radio for 30-something years every morning. I've been on the radio 5 days a week in Knoxville, Tennessee. Years ago, I flew up to a little place up to Knoxville, but you fly into Maryville. That's where the airport is. And I stopped there. I went and got in the car, went down to Sweetwater, Tennessee. A little place called Sweetwater, Tennessee. I got in the car, and the preacher said to me, I know you're tired, and you, but said, there's a lady here that listens to you on the radio, and Brother Mays, she wants you to come eat supper tonight. And I said, all right. So I went on in this little house. She just raved, said, oh, it's so good to have you in my house, preacher. And I said, really? I said, I'm the one ought to be thrilled. I said, you've cooked all day. And I said, it's just wonderful. We went over to the table, and she told a story. Just like so. She said, I don't have much to eat. But she had Tennessee ham and Tennessee chicken. She didn't have no Kentucky fried, but that was spangle-licking good she had. I mean, she had all kinds of chicken and everything. And she said, now, Brother Mays, it's an honor to have you. And said, I want to tell you something. Me and my husband live here. We got one boy, and he's in the army. His name is Leroy. And she said, he's somewhere down in Texas. And I prayed that God will let him come here this week. And I believe if he gets to come home, that God's going to save him. And she said, I want you to pray. And then we're going to eat. And just as I started to pray, she said, if you don't mind, Brother Mays, I'm going to get down and not eat anything. I'll just pray while you and Brother Jones, the pastor, and my husband eat. said, go ahead and pray and I'll be down here. And she fell down by that chair and said, oh Lord, you know how I love Leroy. Lord God, he's all I've got in this world. And I prayed for him, and God, I believe you're going to save old Leroy. And when I got through praying, it's the first time in my life chicken didn't look good, ham didn't look good, and gravy and cathead biscuits didn't look good. I just reached over and pushed the plate back. I said, let's get down and pray. And we got down and prayed and went down to church that night. I got through preaching in North Sweetwater Baptist Church in Sweetwater, Tennessee. And guess who came first to the altar? That precious little old mother came running down, hit the altar, and here's what she screamed. God! I want you to save old Leroy. The next night, brother, I was up preaching. And when I got through preaching, she came running down the aisle, hit that altar, and hollered out, God, save old Leroy. And every night she came, Saturday night, I started to give the invitation. I looked up, and in the foyer of the church, just outside the door, in the foyer there stood a soldier boy's hairs in his eyes, looked like he'd been on a 40-day drunk. And when we started singing, she ran down and hit the altar and said, God, save old Leroy. She was just a-crying, and we started singing, and a soldier started through that door, and he started down the aisle, and then he ran and fell down over here on this side in North Sweetwater Baptist Church. And you know what he said? He said, Lord, I want you to save me. And when he said, Lord, I want you to save me, his mama jumped up and said, Lord, that's old Leroy. And she jumped up, ran over there, and fell around his neck. And I want to tell you, Leroy got saved, and the rest of us got recapped all over again. Praise the Lord. You say, Brother Mays, let me tell you something. I said to Brother Leroy, I said, Leroy, now that you're saved, do you know your mama's been praying for you every night? I said, how'd you like my sermon? He said, Brother Mays, I didn't hear you preach. He said, I just got in town, been on the road 3 days and three nights from Texas thumbing, and said, I haven't had anything to eat, haven't been able to sleep. And his little old mother started shouting and said, thank God, I haven't eaten in 3 days, haven't slept in three nights. I know the Lord is working on this end too, Leroy. And boy, we had another shouting good time. And somebody said, preach, you've got to warn them to be saved. If they're going to be saved, and she had a desire. She wanted her people saved. She wanted to see her kinfolk saved. And brother, when we get to that place, God will save them. Now let me give you two evil desires, and then I'll close the message tonight. There was one in the Bible named Herodias, and she said, I want the head of that preacher. He preached against my sin. I want that preacher's head. Let me say this to you, beloved, just as sure as you are here tonight, my name's Mays. If a preacher really preaches the word of God, he'll stir up the community. He'll stir up the whole countryside. And there'll be somebody wanting to cut his head off. There'll be somebody wanting to shoot him. I tell you, if he really takes a stand for God. I remember one time my wife remember it. I was preaching in a tent, and they're shooting over the top of that tent. And somebody said, up at Blaney, South Carolina, they said, we'll stop old Loudmouth Jackson. But I got news for him. My mouth louder than it's ever been. And just because I went to that place and preached, they got mad because I got to preaching against some of those church members drinking liquor, hobnobbing around the devil, and I started disturbing their little nest, and they didn't want me around. And they said, we'll give you 24 hours to get out of town. In fact, they cut my tent, and they did everything they could, but God was around me, and God was under me, and God was over me. And boys, I'm glad God took care of me. And if you're in God's will, brother, God will take care of you. But here's Herodias. She said, I want the head of John the Baptist. I see him, they come in. I've been to where John had his head cut off. I sat down where John was sitting that day. And I see him sitting there. And this fellow comes with a tray. And he's got a knife in it. And John couldn't see the knife. He thought maybe he had some supper then. He said, hey, you bring me some supper? I said, no. A little girl out there, Fandanks girl, danced and thrilled the king. That's the reason you women ought to wear decent clothes. You hear me? You ought to wear decent clothes. And here's a little girl, she danced, and it caused that old king's mind to become befuddled. And that king didn't know what to do, and he said, hush! I'll give you half of the kingdom. I'll give you anything you want. And she went and asked her mama, and the mama said, get the head of that preacher. I got this hour. I want that big mouth preacher stopped. And the king down there, that fellow said, John, I've come to cut your head off. Now, if you'll get down and recant and say you're sorry, John, I won't have to cut your head off. I believe John got up and said, there's two things I want to tell you, brother. First, I want you to go tell that old queen I'll have a new head before my toes stop wiggling.
Say amen right there.
Say, go tell her! Bless God, I'm not backing up. Go tell her! I'm still the same John the Baptist. And secondly, I believe he looked at him and said, which way would you like me to stand? Where would you, what angle would you like for me to stand when you cut my head off? The evil desire of a wicked woman caused the greatest Baptist preacher that ever lived to die. Then here's one more, and I'll close tonight. In the Bible, there's a man called Judas that had an evil desire. I mean, he had Jesus on his hands. Judas that had walked with him. Judas that had heard him pray. Judas that saw his miracles, no doubt. Judas had carried the bag. Judas lived so clean that when they were in that upper room, they didn't know it was Judas going to betray him. Judas went down and said, what would you give me? I got a desire. I want 30 pieces of silver, 30 shekels of shame. It's the price you're going to pay for Jesus. And boy, they gave him that money, and that money was his desire. He sold his Lord. Oh, you see, Brother Mays, tonight people have a desire. And some of them are selling their souls and selling their time and selling their eternity. Oh, they're selling Judgment Day out. They're selling out in the face of hell itself. And old Judas went out and got him a rope and actually threw that money and said, I had that desire, but I don't want it. And I don't know, Acts 1 says that he fell. Didn't fall from salvation, he fell from apostleship. He fell, my friend, from a profession, and his insides gushed out. And the next day, I see people come by, and somebody said, hey, you know that man down there? I say, yeah, that's Judas. He had a desire. He wanted silver more than he wanted Jesus Christ. He wanted silver and gold more than he wanted his soul saved. Let me give you something. I'm from up in the mountains. Years ago, this little evangelist came to that country. There's an old country doctor that had a girl that got under conviction and went down to the tent meeting one night and wanted to be saved. And they said she stood in the back. And as the old evangelist up in the mountains was giving an invitation, she got all the way out to the edge of the beach to come down the aisle and be saved. Her mother happened to come up out there and stopped and ran in and grabbed her by the arm and said, honey, just when we're getting up in the world, you're going to ruin us. Said, don't you know that your daddy's practice is worth more than anything else, and he'll give you watches and diamonds and cars and a college education, but don't you go down there and disgrace us and get religion. Grab that girl and jerk her out of the tent. Next night, that girl slipped away from home and came down there. She was about 16 years old. Standing there that night, getting ready to go to that altar when the invitation was given. And that car pulled back up again just before that preacher stopped preaching. When he gave the invitation, that mother shot in, grabbed that girl, dragged her out, put her in a car, and took her home. And her daddy had come in from making a call. He laid his bag down. His mother, or his wife, told him about the girl. And he said, now listen, I want you to make up your mind tonight. Either you make up your mind what you want. If you want God, and if you want to be saved, then you give up all that I've offered you. Diamond rings, money, college education, automobiles. And that girl said, let me go upstairs. And they'd redone the old home place. And they'd fixed it up and made a mansion out of it. She went up there in her old granddaddy's chair. Got down by it and stayed there for about 2 minutes. Jumped up and ran back down and said, Daddy! I made up my mind. Champagne, caviar, diamond rings, and a brand new car. That's what I want. God left me up under that chair. Daddy! I told God I had a desire for what you got, Mama's got, and what I can get in the world. And I'm going to college. And so 2 years later, she's 18, she went to college. She came home and they're having a private dance there in the doctor's house, the beautiful old mansion. And as the girl was gliding around the floor, something happened. She got dizzy and she asked the boy dancing with her, said, take me over to the side. Said, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. I think I'm having a heart attack. And he pulled her over to the side and pulled her arm. He said, step right over here. Her daddy came and said, take her to bed. And they rushed her up the steps and put her to bed. Ran and got the doctor. Doctor came in, that old country doctor examined her and said, mister, said, I want to tell you something. You've been a doctor a long time. You sent for me because you scared to take care of your own daughter. I want to tell you, she's dying. She hadn't got long. You better give her what she wants. That girl raised up and said, Papa! When you asked me 2 years ago what I wanted, I told you. But said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to take the old open bucket we used to use that we have down in the kitchen that we put aside in the pantry. I want you to go out there behind the house where the spring is. That old well, reach down and get me a cool glass of water. Or a bucket of water, baby. I want it to come from there. Because there's where God first spoke to me. There's where I was kneeling when I got on conviction. And Daddy, then I went to that meeting. And then Mama came and got me. And upstairs, the grandpa's chair. I settled it, but get me some water. And so he ran down, the doctor did, and went out and got the water and came back. And just as he got back, the other doctor looked in and said, it's too late. She just raised up, and she was gone. Too late! And that doctor stood there and held that trembling bucket and said, my God, she asked for what she wanted. And I asked her to ask for the wrong thing, and now she's in hell. He fell down and screamed and cried for mercy, but the girl was in the flames of hell. Beloved, let me ask you tonight, what is your desire? You can wait too late. Or you can ask for the long thing. Every head bowed around the mouth. Paul said this one thing. Paul said, brethren, my prayer to God in desire and the prayer to God is for Israel that they might be saved. What's your desire tonight? Only Elisha wanted. He said, I got a desire. I want the power of God on my life. Christian, if that's what you want, Concord, if that's what you want this week, God will place the mighty power of God on you. Oh, tonight, if you need that wisdom, God will place that wisdom in your heart that's pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated. If you're here tonight and you want to build something for God, thus far you've just stumbled around in life and you've never done anything for God, my friend, you better start. Time is slipping away. Then there may be somebody here tonight, you're like Esther, and you want your people to be saved. I hope there's no one here like Judas that just wants silver. Oh, I hope there's no one here tonight like Herodias that would rather have a party and a dance and go to hell than to be saved. My friend, tonight I ask you, what do you desire? What do you want? What do you desire? Now, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to thank you for listening. And while that head's bowed, God's talking to people here tonight. My friend, there are people here tonight. You've got some kind of desire. You've got an ambition. You've got a goal. I want to ask you, is it right? Is it to glorify God? Are you where God wants you to be? Are you living inside the circle of the inner circle with God? Do you know that your life's counting with Jesus tonight? Are you ready? Now the two things I'm going to ask you tonight. Just two things. And then we're going to pray and then we're going to stand and sing. The first thing is this. How many people in this house, all the way to this auditorium, all the way back, and said, Brother Mays, if I leave this auditorium tonight and go down, get my car, and never see another sunrise, I'm ready to meet God. That means you're saved. You're in fellowship. That means there's nothing in your life you'd have to get out. There's no sin you'd have to confess. As far as you know, everything's under the blood. And you're in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean everything. If you can say, preacher, thank God, if death calls me, I'm ready to meet him. Thank God, everything's on the blood. Preacher, there wouldn't be one thing I'd have to
I'd have to do. Slip up your hand, Christian. Let me see it. Don't lift it up if you're not sure of that. Don't lift it up if you're not sure of that. All right, now you can take your hand down. I want to ask you the last question tonight. I'm just going to ask two. How many people? I imagine it's 25 people that couldn't raise a hand. How many people say, Brother Mays, I couldn't raise a hand? I want you and Brother Sammy to pray for me. Lift up that hand. Let me see it. Lift it up. Let us see it. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. Way back on the very back. Each another. Lift up that hand. Two men and a lady. Lift up that hand tonight. God speaking to you. Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand tonight. Whoa, everything's not right between me and God. Hold up that hand. Let me see it. There are many others back there already. God bless you, son. God bless you back there. I see it. It's another. Quickly raise your hand tonight. You know where you stand. You know how it is with your soul. You know whether or not you're ready to meet God. Hold up that hand. That's five. It's another. Step up your hand tonight. Let me pray for you. I tell you, if I was back there in your place and everything wasn't under blood, and everything wasn't right, I'd raise my hand. It's another. Step up your hand. Let me see it tonight. Step it up there and then you can take it down. I want to pray for you. Beloved, I'd be afraid not to lift my hand. I'd be afraid not to say, preacher, pray for me if I wasn't ready to meet God. Five people. Is there another? Quickly. Let me see your hand. Lift it up tonight. I want to pray for you. Lift it up. God bless this little boy. Is there another? Let me see your hand tonight. Preacher, God's speaking to me. Everything's not right. That's six people. Is there another? Lift up that hand. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for these six tonight. But, oh, God, there must be 25 people in this house that you're dealing with that, oh, God, they're not ready to meet you. Father, there are people here tonight, and if they had to go out in eternity, some would go out lost, screaming lost forever and forever. Some would go out, Lord, ashamed of their lives, ashamed of the way they've lived. Oh, God, they're not where they ought to be. Well, God, now, Lord, in just a moment we're going to stand. In just a moment we're going to sing. I pray, Lord, that not a soul, that not a person in this house will leave here till every spiritual needs met. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Look this way. Sing what, dear brother?
81.
Number 81, just as I am. You don't have to have a book. You know that by heart. Now, I tell you what I want you to do. Every one of you, raise your hand. I want you to come on that first stanza. Brother Sammy's here. Some are already here praying for you. While we stand, if God did it with you tonight, I want you to come running down this aisle. Let's everybody stand. Let's everybody sing this first stanza. Come right on. Come on tonight. You that raise your hand, we're going to pray for you. Come right on while we sing. All right, dear brother. Come on. Just as I am. Yes, preacher. Yes. Just come right on tonight. God did it. Amen. Yes, yes. Come right on tonight. God speak to me. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Come right on. I would not stand where you're standing tonight for anything in the world in your case. Now, folks, listen to me. If you're back there, you raise your hand, you're standing on dangerous ground. I mean, time is running out for you. Eternity is closer than you think. And one little boy came. That means there's five others that raised your hand back there. I want you to come on this next stanza. Come, Brother Samuel, pray with you. I hit the altar. Would you just step right out? Come right on down, all right? While we sing, come take it. Come right on. Come on. Oh, yes, Brother Me. God's dealing with me. Come on. I come. How red my soul. Yes. Yes, I would. Yes, I would. Can't live. Yes, I would. I'd come. Just keep coming. Come along. Step out tonight. Come along. While we sing that next stanza, just keep coming. God's dealing with come on. Come on. Amen. You just step out back there tonight. You say, Brother Mays, God's dealing with me. Come on. Amen. Yes. I want to
come undone. I want you to bow your head just a moment. Now, there's some people in this house that God's dealing with you. What you're going to do...